Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good to see everybody in here this morning. Did you come expecting? Hallelujah. It's something about your expectation that brings revelation, a visitation, an impartation, transformation. Amen. Welcome all those online with us this morning. Glad you are here with us. Especially glad that you're in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise God. Let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father, we come before you this morning with excitement and enthusiasm about your word. We thank you for your word this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the living word. We thank you that word is full of life and power. It never returns unto you void. It goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. We thank you today for the mighty Holy Spirit in here. Holy Spirit, have your way. We thank you for the impartations, the revelations, the quickening, the life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving power of God in this place today. We give you all the praise. And I ask for utterance to be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor ahead of time, Lord, for what you will say and do today for each person. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Well, this is healing school, healing class, so we get to put into operation exactly what we've been learning, teaching, hearing. Glory to God. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. But then you can keep hearing, 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 and hearing, but you got to do something with what you're hearing. So we got to learn to apply what we're learning, what we're hearing. And when we apply that word, then that's when that word begins to work for us, right? It's applying that word or doing that word, like it tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22. It's the doers of the word that are blessed in their deeds. Yeah. So we get to put into operation today our faith. And faith, just like faith doesn't work without any words, words don't work without any faith. When God spoke the world into existence, he believed in the words that he spoke, and creation came about. A whole universe. Come on now, worlds were created because God spoke a word. He believed in the word that he spoke, and something happened because he believed in those words, and he released his faith. His faith was released in what he said. Hallelujah. So we're going to speak a couple of them today together. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but he was wounded, hallelujah, for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, hallelujah. Confession, surely Jesus has borne my sicknesses. And diseases, and carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away to a distance. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. I refuse to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot put on me what Jesus bore for me. By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. Amen. Let's go 1 Peter 2:24. His own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah says you are healed. Peter looking back to Isaiah saying you were healed. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Healing belongs to me. I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes Jesus bore. I'm not trying to get healed. I've got healing. Because by his stripes, I was healed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Here's a confession. Sickness is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness has been dissolved, broken up, annulled, undone, and liquidated as far as I'm concerned. Jesus put sickness to an end for me. Hallelujah. You believe that? Yes. Let's lift our hands and thank him for it. Father, we thank you this morning. Your word is truth. All truth. Hallelujah. We're grateful for the truth that trumps every lie. Lies fail, but the truth prevails. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been on being spiritually fit. How many's been practicing being spiritually fit? What does it say? We want to build a strong spirit. It's the strong spirit in a man that what? Sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. Exactly. And so we looked at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 about building a strong character. Talking about walking in love, number one of the things, love, joy, that we talked about joy, praise the Lord, the importance of joy, being the conductor of God's strength in our lives, how vitally important love is, joy is. All of those are key factors in our faith and our walk of faith here on the earth. But this morning, I'm going to take a little detour. Holy Ghost. Got to follow the Holy Ghost. So we'll return to spiritually fit next week unless the Holy Ghost directs otherwise. So today I want to talk about the power of God. The power of God. Let's turn together in our Bibles, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The power of God. What is the power of God? Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." Say, the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Well, that word salvation is an all-inclusive word. And that word salvation, it stands for healing, wholeness, preservation, safety. Glory to God. So it says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto healing, unto deliverance, unto safety, unto preservation, unto wholeness. Come on now. It says to everyone. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Uh-oh. Does that mean there's responsibilities on the Lord? No. He says on those that believe. It works for those who believe. He says to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. Verse 16, Romans chapter 1, Amplified Version says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news." Uh-oh. The gospel is what is good news. Another translation is glad tidings. It's good news. It's glad tidings. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the good news of Christ. We're seeing it's of Christ. So there's good news from Jesus Christ. For it is God's power. It is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance and eternal death to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and a firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto safety, preservation, wholeness. That covers everything. Yes. Praise God. It is the power of God. So the gospel is not void of power. No, it's not. The gospel has the power within itself when it's preached to fulfill itself. Right. And it will do exactly what it said it will do. Right. So I'm going to begin to break the gospel down a little bit. You may have heard it like this. You may not have heard it like this. But we're going to hit it on every wave this morning. And we're going to let the gospel do the work. Because the Bible says it's the power of God. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that when it comes to the gospel, that first of all, Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. So we know that first of all, it was a miraculous conception. Nothing natural about this whatsoever. It was a supernatural conception. Right. An angel appeared to a young virgin named Mary. Now you think about this. An angel appeared to a young virgin named Mary. And he told her, "You shall conceive a child, a boy child. And you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save the people of the world from their sins." So it starts out being even a supernatural happening. Had all began with an angel from heaven. Is this for real, Pastor Debbie? This is real. So here we go. This angel said and told Mary and appeared to a young virgin. And it happened just like the angel said. There was a child born to a young virgin named Mary. And she called his name Jesus. Jesus grew up and he became a man. So first of all, it was a miraculous conception. It wasn't nothing natural about that. God declared from heaven through an angel what was going to happen. What that angel spoke happened exactly. As Jesus grew up, the Bible says he grew in wisdom, he grew in strength, he grew in stature. And then it said that Jesus began to go about showing mankind or people God's divine love for them. He began to show people, humanity, how much God the Father truly loved people, how much he loved them. If we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, let's go there real quick. Hebrews chapter 1, y'all with me this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Beginning in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But, here we go, but in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. My Lord. Verse 3. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying, a radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe, woo, by his mighty word of power, my Lord. The spoken word of God is his power. When God revealed the revelation to Charles Capps, he said, I have given my creative power to man in word form. The spoken word of God is his power. So let's continue. So it says that Jesus, he's the perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Praise God. So we see here that Jesus is the divine express will of the Father. If we want to know what God our Father is like, we look at Jesus, because he was the divine will of the Father in action on the earth with what he spoke and what he did. What he spoke and what he did. And there was power in every single thing that Jesus spoke and what he did. And it had an impact on all those around him. So as Jesus went about, we see here, he was the divine will of the Father in action. He began to show humanity, or mankind, people, how much God truly loved them. Number one, by healing them of every disease and sickness. Healing them of every disease and sickness. The Bible says, Jesus opened blind eyes. He made deaf ears to hear. He caused the lame to walk. He put strength into the legs of the cripples. He cleansed the lepers. In fact, we know that some of them, when he cleansed, well, we think about the story of the 10 lepers. How about in Luke chapter 17 and verse 12, when Jesus was going through the crowd and all of a sudden he's far off, there was 10 lepers. They saw Jesus. They cried out to him. They wanted to be healed. And Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. They believed what Jesus said, all 10 of them. But one of them, upon going, realized that he was cleansed. So he returned to Jesus to thank him and praise him and give him thanksgiving for what Jesus had done. And Jesus said, where are the 9? Didn't I cleanse 9 of you, 10 of you, but where are the other 9? Only one comes back to thank me and praise me for it. Come on now. And he said, because you have, he says, now you go your way. You have been made whole. So even if there were body parts missing on that leper, when Jesus said, you have been made whole, every part that was missing was instantly put back on him. Didn't matter if it was a toe, a finger, a nose, or ear. There was creative miracles that Jesus walked in. When he went about all the earth healing people of every disease, every sickness, there were creative miracles. He is still doing and performing creative miracles today. He said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them who believe. Then he said in not only Mark 9:23, Luke 1 verse 37, for with God nothing is impossible. Let me say that again. For with God nothing is impossible. Nothing means nothing. It doesn't matter what you've been told, what you have heard, what the doctors have said. God's word, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings has got the power in it, praise God, when it's preached and taught to produce exactly what you can believe him for. What you can believe him for. Doesn't matter if you had an organ taken out of your body. He can put a brand new one back in there. Doesn't matter if you don't have a bone, he can put a bone back in there.
That's right.
Come on now. We just got to up our faith. We got to expect. We got to believe and release our faith in what we in what God has said. There was nothing impossible with him. So he opened blind eyes. He made deaf ears to hear. He caused the lame to walk. He put strength in the legs of cripples. He cleansed the lepers. Creative miracles took place. He raised the dead.
Yeah.
Was there anything too hard for God? No. There was nothing too hard for him. Nothing too difficult for him. There was no sickness too hard for him to heal. He never turned anyone away. He never said, no, I will not heal you or I can't heal you. No, he healed all who asked him. He healed all who believed him for it. And at his word, demons came out of people. I like to say in where it talks about in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus defeated the three D's. Death, disease, and the demons. He defeated death, disease, and demons, the three D's in Mark chapter 5, every one of them. There was nothing too hard for him. So we talked about the gospel, the good news, how Jesus was going about everywhere. Healing people of their diseases and sicknesses. Not one.
Right.
Not one that didn't expect it, didn't get it. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus had just healed a man with a withered hand in the synagogue. And in verse 15, Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. The Pharisees and all got mad and were upset because he did it on the Sabbath. Think about that. Amazing, isn't it? That religious mindset got them in trouble. Verse 15, but being aware of this, Jesus went away from there. After he healed the man in the synagogue with the withered hand, he told him to stretch out his hand. The man stretched out his hand at the word of Jesus and his hand was made whole. Instantly. And then Jesus being aware of all the ruckus that was going on because the Pharisees and Sadducees were getting upset because he healed on the Sabbath, he says, verse 15, being aware of this, Jesus went away from there, and many people joined and accompanied him. And he cured all of them. What did he do? He cured all of them. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching. What was he doing? Producing faith in them. They had to hear of the good news. Right. They had to hear of the glad tidings. What was he preaching? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God the Father has anointed me to what? Preach the good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, set at liberty them that are bruised. Come on now. Okay. They heard. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. Yeah. What? Curing all kinds of disease, every weakness and infirmity. Oh, yeah, that's what he was doing. Yes, he was. Look at Matthew 14, verse 14. Matthew 14, verse 14. And when he had went ashore... Matthew 14, verse 14. And when he had went ashore and saw a great throng of people, he had compassion, pity, deep sympathy for them, and he cured their sick. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Let's go to verse 35 and 36. Verse 35 and 36, we're talking about Jesus being the sole divine expressed will of the Father in action. 35 and 36, Matthew 14, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into the surrounding country and brought to him all that were sick and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were perfectly restored. Why? Because it was a touch of faith. They were expecting something. They were believing something. They had heard that Jesus was anointed by God the Father, and the Spirit of God was upon him. They had heard it. It had created a faith, an expectancy. They didn't just say, well, I hope something's going to happen. Maybe if I touch it, it might. I don't know. No. Yeah. It was a great expectation in them. They did it, and they got exactly what they expected. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10:38, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Look at Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb. That's even those who could not speak. Come on now. And many others. And they put them down at his feet, and he cured them. So that, verse 31, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, the maimed made whole. If they were missing body parts, they saw instant creative miracles. Come on now. Creative miracles right in their midst. We're serving the same God. We know the same God that did it right then. He's still doing it today. Hallelujah. The maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing. They recognized, they praised, they thanked, they glorified the God of Israel. Yeah. It brought such glorification to God. Yeah. The people were amazed. They were being drawn because they were seeking out Jesus. They knew if they could get to Jesus, that was their answer. And today, We have the Holy Spirit who's everywhere.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the one who watches over His Word. Yes. To perform it for you and I. To make it good, to bring it to pass.
Yes.
He's watching over the Word. The great performer, the great revealer, the great illuminator. The power of God, the might of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the one whom we have in us. Not only with us and for us, but He's in us.
Yes.
The raising from the dead, power
yes.
of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. He's right here. He's in you right
yes.
now. If you think raising Christ from the dead was hard for Him, no. That same resurrection power,
yes.
the same resurrection power is available right here today.
Oh,
it's up to you to put a demand on the resurrection power of the living God,
yes.
the God that we serve. Come on now. He's a miracle working God, and there is nothing impossible with Him. All things are possible to them who believe. Jesus went about revealing that to all mankind. He never said, "No, I cannot heal you." He never said, "No." He healed all who came to Him and expect it from Him. So we know that He was the sole divine express will of the Father in action. He created the universe with His words. The whole universe today is upheld and sustained this very moment because of the word that He spoke in the beginning. That same word. Every time I go to the ocean or a beach and I'm looking at the waves in the ocean and I'm thinking, this ocean is still obeying the command of God from the very beginning that it will never overcome the land. It has its limit and it stays right in its limits, which God spoke from the beginning. And I just think about how vast, how great, how big our God is. I think we make Him so little. We paint the picture of the devil so big, but the devil is nothing. Nothing compared to our God, the one that we serve. So Jesus went about revealing to mankind God's love, the Father's love for us, by healing them of their diseases and sicknesses, by forgiving them. Let's look at this one. By forgiving people of their sins. He forgave the most evil people. He forgave prostitutes, adulterers. He forgave thieves and murderers. He forgave drunkards and drug addicts. He gave them all the power to change their lives and to not have to go that direction anymore. He gave them power to change their lives, a new life. He gave them a new, brand new life. Jesus did no evil wickedness whatsoever. There was no evilness, wickedness done by Jesus Christ at all. None. He only did good. Psalms 119, verse 68. God is good and only doeth good. We have to know that. God the Father only does good. Only does good. Psalms 103, let's go to Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3. Psalms 103, verse 2 and Bless, effectually, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not one all of his benefits. What are they? Who forgives every one of your iniquities? Every single one of them. Who heals what? Who heals what? All, each one, all of your diseases. Excuse me. Who heals each one, all of your diseases. What does our God do? Glory to God. He forgives you of all of your iniquities and sins, and he heals you of all your diseases and sicknesses. Nothing was too hard for him. Nothing was too difficult for him. Not nothing. Not anything. And he only did good. Let's look at another part of the gospel. So Jesus was born of a virgin. It was a miraculous conception. The whole thing that came about when the angel appeared to a young virgin, it happened just like the angel said. Jesus was born. They named him. He grew. He became a man, and he began to express God the Father's will. By healing them of all their diseases and sicknesses, all means all. Forgiving people of their sins. Yeah. There you go. That's the package deal right there. Yeah. Healing, forgiveness, healing, forgiveness, healing, forgiveness right there. But we can't forget it. Here's another part of the gospel. The miracles that Jesus began to perform and do and did made the religious leaders in his day very mad, and they began to plot how to kill him. They did not want Jesus to call himself the Son of God, who he really was. So they plotted how to kill him. They took him to court. They falsely accused him. They sentenced him to die. They beat him with stripes on his back. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put nails through his hands and his feet. They stuck a spear in his side, and his blood began to gush out. It said it was mixed with water and blood, representing the spirit and the blood. They are inseparable. The blood, his blood began to rush to the ground. We cannot ever forget the power in the blood of Jesus. That blood that rushed to the ground. Jesus knew one day that you and I would need a Savior and a healer. You and I would need a Savior and a healer. He willingly hung on that cross as a sacrifice for our sins and a substitute for our sins and our sicknesses and our diseases. He willingly did it. Nobody made him do anything. He laid his life down. Don't ever let them tell you they made, Jesus willingly laid his life down, gave it up as a sacrifice for you and I. Jesus knew that God the Father had made a law. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Right. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. God the Father, Jesus knew that in God the Father's word. So Jesus knew that his blood and his blood alone was the only blood that could go before the high courts of heaven and settle it once and for all for you and I. That it could not have been the blood of another human being, because there was no sinless human being at all on the earth. It took the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, We have to remember it was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, His blood that was taken into the high courts of heaven. Yes. And when the Father saw the blood of Jesus, yes, my God, He said, that's it. That's the pure, spotless, sinless Lamb of God's blood that was shed for you and I. He said, that blood sealed and ratified my covenant that I've made with God and man, redeeming man back out of the hand of the devil, out of the hand of the enemy. That blood and the blood of Jesus alone sealed and ratified that covenant. Thank God. We cannot forget the shedding of His blood and how it was so pure, spotless, pure, spotless Lamb of God's blood, sinless, no sin. Jesus committed no sin. But when that blood reached the high courts of heaven, it spoke. It spoke in great volumes, the book of Hebrews said, even greater than the blood of Abel that cried from the ground when Cain slew his own brother. If that blood from a human being could cry out from the ground, my God, how much more does the blood of Christ speak on your behalf and my behalf, that we're pardoned, we're cleansed, we're healed. My God, that blood is still speaking today, that we are healed and whole, pardoned and cleansed. What a precious blood. Oh, my God, thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood. We cannot forget that. They removed His body from the cross and they took Him to a tomb. They rolled back the stone from the tomb and they laid His body in the tomb. And for 3 days, Jesus' body laid in that tomb. But God the Father was about to show the whole world that Jesus was more. Jesus was not just a holy man, not just a teacher, not just a prophet, not just a miracle worker, but that Jesus was the Son of God. So after 3 days laying in that tomb, the third day, the power of Almighty God came into that tomb and went into the lifeless body of Jesus Christ and raised it up. I said the Jesus' body was raised up by the power of Almighty God. We know that was what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. The same Spirit. The power of Almighty God came into the lifeless body. He'd been dead 3 days. Now you think about that. And raised it up. And Jesus walked out of that tomb alive. Hallelujah. The God that we serve is not dead. He is fully alive. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 8, He's the same God. He never changes it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did then, He's still doing today. There's not a shortage of His salvation plan, of His healing, of His miracles. Come on now. There's not a shortage of God's power. It's still available for us today. The wonder-working, mighty power of God. Oh, my God. 3 days. But He raised His body up. After this, Jesus began to go about and show Himself to many people that they would believe on Him, that He was alive. That He was alive. He told His disciples, I must go back to the Father from which I came. For if I don't go away, the promise of the Holy Spirit won't come. He says, I'm going to send one just like me, one besides me, and one in addition to me. The mighty Holy Spirit. Jesus was raptured right before their very eyes and caught up back to the Father. But when he was caught up, the Holy Spirit came.
Yes.
He said, wherever you go today and you share this same good news, wherever you go and you share this same good news, he says, I am there to make it good, to perform it, to make it happen right here today. He said, I am there for whosoever would call on my name to what? Save them. Whoever would believe these things. Believe what, Pastor Debbie? That he was born of a virgin.
Yeah.
That Jesus went about as the sole express will of the Father, healing people of their diseases and sicknesses, forgiving them of their sins, and that he died on a cross and he shed his blood to remit our sins. Then he arose from the grave. He's not dead. He has arose. Hallelujah. The great ascension and the great resurrection that took place of our God. He said if people would still today believe that, that's why they call on the name of Jesus, they can get saved. He said, and if they can still believe today that what I did then,
yes,
I can do for them today. If only you believe. He said, if only you would believe. What is believing? Simply taking God at his word, what he said. Let's just simplify it. Simply taking God at his word. Not a hard thing. We make it hard. We try to get our thinker in there and it wants to reason everything out, figure out every minute detail. But we got to get past the thinker and tap into our heart and our spirit.
Yeah.
Say, God, you said that. I believe that for me, for myself. I take that today. It's mine. I accept it. See, how are you receiving? Same way they did, with your mouth.
Right.
With your mouth.
Right.
You believe with your heart, you say with your mouth.
Right.
That's what it tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10. 9 and 10.
Yep.
Verse 8, 10, Romans 10, 8, it says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall believe with your heart, say with your mouth, you shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto what? Salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth salvation is made. Confession is made unto salvation. I'll get it right. Hallelujah. And then he said in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, healed, delivered, made whole. That word saved is that sozo word, Greek word sozo, all inclusive. It's for whosoever will believe it. What did Jesus go about saying in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want us to look at an example. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. We're talking about the power of God. We're serving the same God who has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Got that, Holy Ghost? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, "And when he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, thou can make..." I want to read it from the Amplified. Matthew chapter 8. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to start again. Verse 1. In the Amplified. "When Jesus came down from the mountain, great throngs followed him. And behold, a leper came to him, and prostrating himself, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cleanse me by curing me. And he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing." In other words, I want to. It is my will. I do want you healed. Yes, I will heal you. He says, "I am willing. Be cleansed by being cured." And instantly his leprosy was cured and cleansed. So here's this leper that has approached Jesus, and he's saying, "Lord, I know you can heal, but will you heal me, a nobody? I'm not even worth it, Lord. Are you?" Jesus said, "I am willing. It is my will. I want to. It's my good pleasure to do good to you." Yes. It's the same thing today. It's my good pleasure to do good to you. Yeah. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want to read verse 5. Paul here speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says, "For our preaching of the glad tidings," or the gospel, "came to you not only in word, but also in its own inherent power." How did it come? Not only in word form, but also in its own inherent power, and in the Holy Ghost, and with great conviction and absolute certainty. Wow. Absolute certainty on our part. You know what kind of men we proved ourselves to be among you for your good. So Paul is telling them the gospel, the good news, the gospel. It comes not only in word, but also in demonstration. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 4, Paul here speaking again, he says, "My language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power." Say, Holy Spirit and power.
Holy Spirit and power.
"They were in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power, a proof by the Spirit and power of God, operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions, and thus persuading them." Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, we're talking about the gospel. "For with God nothing is impossible, and all things are possible to him that believeth." Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. We see that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is the one that's trying to take life from you. Jesus said, "I come to give you life and life more abundantly." John 10:10. We have to walk in the light of the life of Jesus Christ that he came to give us. It's not just going to fall on us. Following us like ripe cherries off a tree is not just going to happen automatic. No, he's waiting for us to believe what he has said, to believe his word, receive that word, act on that word today. Hallelujah. Today, whatever, let's stand to our feet. Today, whatever you may need him to do. He's here to do it for you. There is no shortage in the power of God. There is no shortage in God's ability. God's word is not void of his power, nor void of his ability. The same miracle working power of God is here today, and it will work for you just like it worked for them. He said, those that believe these things, those that believe these things, those that believe these things, the power of God flows and goes where your faith brings him. I said the power of God flows and goes where your faith brings him. And you received the faith of God when you were born again. You received a measure of the God kind of faith. It's not about, I don't have enough faith, Pastor Debbie. It's about you releasing your faith and believe what you already got and say, this is mine today. I ain't leaving here. It's like the blind Bartimaeus in the book of the Gospels, in the book of Luke, when blind Bartimaeus heard of Jesus. My God, he didn't get quiet and say, well, I hope he's going to come my way. No, he heard, whether a friend told him or whatever, he said, I got to get to where I heard Jesus is. He had to get there. He did not. He was the one that set the time of his miracle with his expectation. He believed on Jesus. He believed. Blind Bartimaeus believed. He finally got to where Jesus was. And he kept shouting and jumping. And the people, the crowds were trying to quiet him and tell him, be still and be quiet. Shut up. He says, no. And he got even louder. He said, this is my moment. This is my opportunity. I am not going to get quiet right now. No, he got loud for God. And Jesus stopped. He said, and the crowds, it stopped. And he said he heard a cry of faith. He said, this is a different cry. He said, this man is expecting something. This man is believing something. And then he looked at the blind man and said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that my eyes might be open. Lord. I mean, he was so excited. He was jumping up and down. He'd already had his party. And the Bible says he threw his cloak off. Glory to God. He says, I am not going to be identified as a blind man any longer. This is over. The blindness is over. Threw that cloak off. Got to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that my eyes will be open. Jesus said, your eyes will be open. Be it done unto you. And what happened? Blind Bartimaeus could see instantly. Well, I can just about imagine if he did all this jumping, shouting, and rejoicing before, I can imagine what happened after. When his eyes were open, how much rejoicing and jumping and leaping, excitement, enthusiasm was happening because he could see. He didn't let his moment or opportunity pass him by. He was like, oh no, this is my time. This is my day today to get my healing. I ain't letting it get by me. No, 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 it's too precious. It's too valuable. It's mine. Jesus' name, my God, my God. Lord, help us get it. It's so simple. It's so simple. We make it so hard. It's so simple. All things, Lord. It doesn't matter if it's a cold to a replacement of putting something that has been missed, destroyed, taken out. It's simple with you. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible. So, Lord, we believe today. I did exactly what you told me to do, Father. You woke me up this morning, Lord God, early, 2:00. Said you wanted the direction to go this way. And so, Lord, I've been obedient to do it in your name. Now we thank you ahead of time for what you will do. We thank you for it, Lord God. So whatever situation it is with you in here today, you put your hand Put your hand on that area. Put your hand where the problem is. Put your hand near that area. I call upon the God of the heavens, the God who's a worker of miracles, the healer, the great physician. I call upon you, Jesus. And right now, in the hearing of these words, every impossible situation, we decree and declare, according to your word, they're healed and made whole, restored. Every disease, every sickness, every infirmity bows its knee right now to the name, the mighty name of Jesus. Every pain has to go in the name of Jesus. It goes. And in the name of Jesus, we call forth creative miracles today. God, you put bones where there needed to be bones. You restore every ligament, every muscle, every tendon. And you make it whole, Lord God, the creator of the universe, who created the worlds that we live in. All things are possible. We believe. We thank you. In your name, the name of Jesus, we bind every devil and demon of sickness that's behind every root of problem, every infirmity, and bind it in Jesus' name and command your power broken in Jesus' name. We command deaf ears to open, blind eyes to open. We command, glaucoma. I speak to glaucoma. I curse it at its roots. I command glaucoma to dissolve and become nothing. I call those eyes normal and healed in Jesus' name. We call every leg normal, every arm normal, every bone normal in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. We bless you. Thank you. You're a miracle-working God. You're the God of miracles. Your name means miracle. Jesus. Jesus.